Okay, it is time. Thank you for being here. We are continuing our study of the Old Testament. Right now we're studying the book of Genesis. Our regular teacher is out of town, so you're left with the third stringer. But I think we will get through this okay. We are studying Genesis chapter 3 tonight. And I think rather than try and go through and review anything out of chapters 1 and 2, if I did that, it wouldn't go well because we probably wouldn't get into chapter 3. So we've had a couple classes already on 1 and 2. And in just a minute, I think what we'll do is read chapter 3. And then I would encourage you to please participate in class so I'm not doing all the talking. I've asked Jesse if you would to kind of monitor our online stuff. You're not going to do it? Oh, okay. So there you go. So it will be us-ins, no online stuff. Hopefully they can still hear us, but maybe they can't ask us questions. So before we get started, if you would, why don't we go ahead and bow our heads and we'll say a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We're grateful, Father, for the relationship that we can share as family here, as your children. We're grateful for the relationship we share with you. And for your word that guides us, we're so thankful for the examples you give us of the Old Testament and the New Testament, of your relationship with mankind and things that we need to be careful of. We know, Father, that you love us and you provide for us and that all good things we have are through you. May you bless our study now. May you bless the teachers in the classrooms for the children and kids as well, and maybe all be uplifted and edified and continue to put you first in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think kind of like what Andy's been doing, I'm just going to take a moment and read through Genesis chapter 3, and then we will jump right in. So it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the spirit said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So, quite a bit of stuff in there. I think if I was to pick a chapter in the Old Testament or even in the Bible that's one of the key places and key events, it would be Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 1 and 2, we've got a lot of new things. God creates everything. He makes all creation. He puts man and woman on the earth. And then in chapter 3, we've got a top of the question sheet in the book says synopsis. Before I just start rambling, who wants to give me a brief, their thoughts on some of the key things? What would be your synopsis of chapter 3? Randy. Okay. Temptation, fall, and judgment. That is a synopsis. That is really good. That's right. We're going to be introduced to a new character, the serpent. God has given some rules. Satan is going to entice or tempt, and man is going to choose the wrong. So, good. I think, just to make sure we can get through, there's a lot of questions, and I know as we get going on some of this, it'll start getting more in-depth on the discussion. So let's go ahead and start going through some of these questions. Feel free to comment or ask questions, and then we'll see how many we can get through. Hopefully we can get through most of this in our allotted time. Question one says, what preventative command had God given man? What did God say not to do? Good. Yeah. So I don't know that I see anything else in there that God said not to do. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think pretty much anything else was a go as far as, well, he did limit him. He said any green plant, any fruit, so veggies and all that stuff were good. I don't know that he forbid man from eating animals, but he doesn't address it, right? He says, this is what you're to do, and all this is good for you. Here's the one thing I don't want you to do. I'll just ask your thoughts on this. Does it say anything about the tree of life? Was he allowed to eat from that? I think so. I don't think God said not to. He said you can eat anything, and when he's going to kick him out later, it's so that he can't have that. And I don't know if possibly that was just a continuous thing that they could eat, and that helped maintain their ability to live forever. I don't know the details on that. So, anyways, that's the only thing I had as far as a preventative command. Anything else that you guys can think of? Okay, so what privileges had God given man? So, I had several things down here, but what did you guys put down for things that were a privilege or an allowance for man? Peter?
They were allowed to be in the garden and basically walk and talk with God.
Okay. So they're in the garden, and there's some type of a great relationship with God where he is able to be with them in a way that we don't see anywhere else really in the Bible. So, good. What else?
Peter's saying he was given the freedom to make his own choices, to be self-managing within the parameters, the dimensions of what God outlined for him. But had the freedom to choose, make choices, move about, do the things that he preferred to
do. Okay, good. So yeah, man was given some free will, wasn't he? With some rules and some allowances. And there wasn't a lot of things that God forbid him from doing. Anything else you guys put down? Mary and then Randy.
He gave them a place that was without any fear or shame.
Okay.
It was a place of safety, really.
Okay. No fear, no shame. It was safe. Relationship with God in an all good atmosphere. So nothing to worry about or be afraid of that they were aware of. So, Randy, what were you going to say?
Your wife took my notes.
Okay, all right, same idea. Anything else you guys put down? A couple of things that I put on there. A privilege. I put down marriage, the relationship that he had with his wife. That, in some ways, is a blessing or a privilege that God provided for mankind in this. I also put down work, responsibility. I look at that as a privilege. God asked him, I would like you to take care of this creation that I've put down here, tend the garden, do these things. And you might look at that and say, well, that's work, but can't work be a privilege if God asks us to do something? We're privileged to get to do these things for God. So might be something that we can look at too when God gives us commands or has things that we're supposed to do, how we look at that. This is an allowance or a privilege that God lets us do. All right. Anything else? Okay. What had God said the consequences of eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would be? The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Okay? And then the second part of that question, what did the serpent say would be the consequences? How did he change that? Yeah.
He just added the word not.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
You know what death was. Wouldn't that raise a question in their mind when God told them they would die? And like, well, they didn't even know what death was.
So that's one possibility, is that they didn't know. They obviously hadn't experienced it. And I guess I'll raise that question. Would they have an understanding of what death was? And part of that, too, is going to be, what type of death are we talking about? The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So had God given them the instructions of the consequences of what was going to happen, or he just said, don't do it? So I don't know all the answers to that. He gives them consequences later when he says, what have you done? Here's your punishment. Here's what's going to happen. And I guess the thing I would have to look at with that is, does it matter if they knew what death was? Whatever that punishment was going to be, whether that means physically you will no longer at some point be able to live physically and you're going to go back to the dust like he's going to tell them later, or what's the other part of death that's going to happen with this? Separation from God. So did they fully understand that? Maybe not. I don't know. I guess I look at this in some ways as maybe the way I would talk to my children. Don't do this. There's something I don't want you to do. Do they need to fully understand all the details and consequences of it? If they do it, this is what's going to happen, and here's what this means. Maybe not. Whatever it was, God said, I don't want you to do it. Yes, in the back. That's good. But you're exactly right as far as the little change in what he says, you will not surely die. And then he follows it up and he says, God knows that when you do eat of it, what? You're going to be like him and you're going to know good and evil. So is that true? Is that a true statement? Hey, God talked about there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right?
So
There's a sense. Yep.
Verse 2, I think, talks about the fact that God is restricting them from the garden. It's partly based on you might become like one of us, no good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Sam, did you have your hand up? Okay. So the last part of the question says, who is telling the truth? Obviously, was God telling the truth? Yes. Was Satan telling a lie? Thou shalt not surely die. That is a dead lie. And if you look at the New Testament, what does Jesus say about Satan? When he's talking to the Jews in, is it John chapter 8? Yeah. Go ahead, Christine.
I wasn't going to answer that.
Oh, no, you're going to answer that now. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No, sir. What I was going to do is I'm not defending Satan at all.
Okay,
but
good.
He did lie, yes, but he also told truth, and that is so like him.
Okay.
He takes truth and mixes it a little bit just enough to kind of cause question in one's mind and confusion. And because she had already added to it, and we didn't know where she got it from, because she said, well, don't touch it. But did God say not to touch it? Or
I don't
did
know.
She say not to touch it? Then Satan's adding a little bit to it,
okay.
You know? And so
good.
It's just a lot of truths and untruths,
yep,
and additions all in this.
No, good comment.
Verses.
Good comment. And the part where it says, God says, thou don't eat it. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That phrase, I told you not to eat it, gets repeated like 3 times in here. And that's what God says I told you not to do. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. What does Satan ask? Did God really say that? Did he really say not to do this? Well, this is what he said. And did she add the part about don't touch it? I don't know. We don't have anything in there about God saying don't touch it, or if, you know, maybe this is stewing in her mind. I can't eat it. I can't even touch it. I don't know. Maybe it's already eaten at her. Yes, Mary.
I was thinking about when we were talking about chapters 1 and 2, the differences between the way the word God is used and the word God in chapter 2.
Okay.
And Satan is so crafty because he takes Lord God out of this and he says God.
Okay.
So he's already trying to take this personal relationship out of the question. Like God, you know, he doesn't want you to do this because he doesn't want you to be like him, which is very smart, evil, however you want to look at
okay.
it. Because really when we're desiring to do something, the first thing we have to do that we know we're not supposed to do, I mean, is we have to take God, our personal relationship with God, out of it. Because then it makes it a lot easier to do something that we shouldn't.
No, that's right. And if it's not a relationship with God, then it's a rule giver. Somebody's giving me rules and telling me not to do something. Well, that's a challenge for me. I'm going to do it anyways. So I don't know. John 8:44, Jesus says of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he alludes to the idea that if we do his will, he's our father. So this serpent that it's talked about, this is Satan, right? Is that who it is? Okay. I think it was, several years ago when Mary was teaching the little kids class, she said something to the kids about who's the serpent. And was it Jack? Jack Weininger says, him's bad because him's the devil. I couldn't say it better. Him's bad because him's the devil. Really, there's nothing good about what he has to say. And if you look at all the references, and I've got most of them written down, we're not going to go through them all the references about Satan, the devil, it's nothing good. How does he work? He questions. Really? Is that really what's going to happen? Did God really say that? He's an accuser. And we'll get to some of this in just a minute, but I guess I just want you to understand there's nothing about Satan that's on the good side of this. When he asks Eve, you know, if you eat this, you're going to know, be like God and know right and wrong. You're going to be like him. Is he trying to look out for her best interests? Is he trying to give her something good? What is he trying to get her to do? Disobey God, right? Yes, sir.
I might be reading into this a little bit too much.
Okay.
I'll take a stab. I think it's interesting that you see the serpent speaking to Eve, who didn't directly receive that commandment from God. Adam did before Eve was made. So you see, God gave that to Adam. He would have had firsthand knowledge from God of what to do. We have to assume that Adam told Eve, hey, this is the garden, this is what we do here. God told us to do this. I mean, if I'm looking at it sequentially. But then he goes to Eve, who then he gets her to fall, who I presume Adam would trust more than him, and then she gets him to fall. So it's kind of crafty the way.
You know, that could be. I mean, he went after Eve as opposed to after Adam. I think I'm going to say Eve probably knew that this was a no-no, and maybe probably from God, even not just from Adam. I don't know. But she quotes God and says, God said this, and then she adds a little bit to it, possibly adding to it. Let me ask your thoughts on this. What is evil? What is the definition of evil? You will know good and evil. How would you define evil? Wickedness, bad stuff. Let me give you my thoughts on the definition of evil. Yes? Anything going against God? You took it right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I would say. He says, you will know good and evil. Did they already know good? After every day, what did God say? I've made this and it is good. I've made this and it's good. Everything that he gave them was good. And then he said, don't do this. So they're going to learn, I guess, about evil. And maybe they don't know all the details of what evil is. But evil, to me, is defined by what God says and going against it. Really. Because otherwise, you could look at society today and people will say, I'm not evil. I'm not doing these really terrible things. Well, what defines evil? God. God does. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah 10:23, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The way I look at that is, without God telling me what to do, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. What's good? Well, I feel like killing somebody. I can't say I'm bigger than you. I'll take it away because I'm not bigger than you. But if I was bigger than you, I would take it away from you because I can. That's how the world will work sometimes without God. God says, no, here's some rules for you. Here's what's good. And Andy has been teaching in the Sunday series, I guess. Why did God give us commandments? What are they for? For our good. The rules that he gives us are for our good because he cares about us. So when we get outside of that and go our own way, that's when we get ourselves into trouble, and that's what happens here. I'm talking a lot. Questions or comments? Yes.
I have this Bible that has a dictionary in the back with
No, I think your comment is right on. I think both of those are exactly right. That day, literally, I think they died spiritually, right? Their eyes are open. God is going to say, there's consequences here, and there's going to be separation between man and God. So that's, to me, the biggest death that they have to suffer. We're apart from God, and that's what we've done to ourselves. The other part is, he says to Adam, from dust you came, and to dust you're going to return. Did they drop dead that day? No. Adam lives to be 900, and I have no idea. Long time. They're going to have a bunch of children, so they don't drop dead that day. But death is introduced, right? I don't know if they'd have had to die physically if they hadn't done that. I guess I'm going to tell you, God already knew they were going to sin, so it doesn't really matter on me to contemplate if they would have lived forever or not. I guess if they're in the garden and they can eat of the tree of life and they haven't sinned, why not? Maybe they'd still be here. But in both terms of they're going to die physically, and I think that day they're going to be separated from God. He's going to give them consequences. So let's keep going. Question 4. I think we've already touched on a little bit. What is the difference between what Eve quotes God as saying in verse 4 and what we will read in 2:17? What do you make of this? So we've talked a little bit about it, but what are some other thoughts on the idea of what Eve says of neither shall we touch it? You think God said that? You think she's just putting that in there? Any ideas? Because I don't have a for sure either way.
Moses, he wrote the Genesis account, it seems like he did, Deuteronomy 4:2, when he was giving his final farewell address to the nation of Israel, having given them all the law and all that stuff, he said, do not add to it, do not take away from it. So there was, on his mind, there was, God had communicated to him the concerns with both types of diminishing from the Word of God, or limiting the Word of God, but also adding things to it that aren't there, that he did not say.
Yeah.
I think my mind sort of carries this out to places like, one of the big confrontational items Jesus had with the Pharisees is that they created a lot of guardrails and boundaries and limitations on life as a Jewish citizen that weren't things that he said.
Okay.
Created an artificial form of righteousness that wasn't that he layered, said this isn't right at all.
Yeah. And that's right. Mary and I were talking about this too. Do you think Satan only talked to them one time or to Eve one time? And this, good idea. Let me go try this. When it talks about in question 5, it says, how exactly was Eve tempted? So we'll talk about that, and then I'll jump back to what I was going to say, if I remember it. How was Eve tempted? Mary? So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. That sounds like I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at it, I'm walking around. Yes, ma'am.
Good things. about it. So it's like I even wrote down here, like, had she even looked at it before? Because she's having all of these thoughts recorded upon what we know as her first time with the tree. So anyway, I thought of it kind of different.
That's a possibility as well, right? So let me ask you this. When Satan says, did God really say this? Did he say not to do this? What is one thing Eve could have done? She could have quoted God. What if she wasn't sure? Hey, God, come here. Satan's saying this is okay. What are your thoughts on this? So I guess my thoughts on this is there's an out that she's got besides just going against what God says. You raised your hand again. So what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say where she could say, hey, Adam, because Adam was apparently right there. She took it and handed it to him.
Don't be blaming Adam. So I'm not sure if Adam's standing there when Satan's talking to her or not. Sounds like Satan is talking to Eve, and then I don't know if she takes Adam with her later or if Adam's just sitting there listening and not saying a thing. That's not obvious to me. They're both going to be in the wrong. They're both going to be punished for it. So I guess I just want us to recognize it's very easy to look at them and say, oh, shame on them. And I guess I would just put this out there for you. How many of you have an opportunity from when we're born to live perfectly and follow God's laws? How many of us are given that opportunity? All of us. How many of us fail at it? All of us. In the same likeness as them? No. Something else? And do I think this is the only time Adam and Eve ever sin in their life? I don't think so. Not if they're like us. So, anyways, any other comments before I keep moving? Okay. Let me see. What's our next question? Okay. Eve was tempted by Satan. We mentioned the ways that was done. How was Adam tempted? Anything separate than what we just said? Yeah. Okay. So one way to look at this is Satan tempts Eve, Eve tempts Adam, or Satan tempts both of them. Either way, they both fall. Adam listens to his wife, takes and eats of the fruit just like she does. Yes, ma'am.
And it's a little ironic.
She did. She picked food. She picked food for him. Well, okay, let's jump to question 6. Who does Adam blame for his failure? Yep, both of them. The woman that you gave me. So he puts it back on God. Right? Wrong call. Describe the curses that are given to the serpent, and to the woman, and to the man. So we'll start with the serpent. What curses are given to the serpent or Satan? Yes, ma'am. A little louder, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. On your belly? Yep. All the days of your life, okay? Crawl on your belly. What else? Huh? You're going to eat some dust. Okay. You are cursed above what? All creatures. What else is there going to be? Peter.
Serpent, and then in the end, the seed of
There will be enmity or strife between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And again, stuff like this to me shows that this is the Word of God. Because when you follow this through in the Scriptures and all the times that it's talked about with the fall of Adam and the things that happen and the seed, not seeds, it's going to be a struggle between mankind and the serpent. But who is going to crush his head? The seed of what? Of woman. Not the seed of man. The seed of woman is going to crush your head. And how is that fulfilled later? How does the seed of woman crush his head? Yes, ma'am. Jesus is the seed of woman, not of man. So the very specific prophecy that God gives in Genesis 3, the one that's going to crush your head is going to be a descendant of woman. God's got this all figured out already. He's already got the curses figured out. He knows how he's going to defeat it. And kind of going back to my question earlier of, was Satan trying to do something good for Eve? Satan is trying to win everybody to his side. I want everybody to go against God. I want everybody to sin, because what is Satan's only power? If I can get you to sin, you die. You are mine. That's his power. I try to tempt you, you die. You're separated from God. I gotcha. And he's done that with everybody except for one. Seed of woman. Jesus Christ. So, anyways, God sets it all up here in the very important chapter 3. What are the curses given to woman? Damn.
Multiply her pain in childbearing.
It's going to hurt a lot more when you have babies. Yep.
Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And that's an interesting phrase, because it's also the same phrase as used in the next chapter. You talk about pain. If you do not do well, sin is crushing at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So it seems to be the desire to overtake.
Good comment. Yeah, so that's good. That desire may not be batting her eyes lovingly. It may be, quit telling me what to do. I want to do it my way. Oh man, that's really fast. Yes.
Well, verse 16, first part, I find interesting. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Which I find that it's a little strange. I'm not sure that I understand all that's being said there as far as sorrow. Multiply your sorrow and your conception.
Okay.
Now maybe it's a translation issue.
I'm not sure on that either. And again, I guess if you're going to live forever, maybe you're not going to have 500 children, right? Because the world's going to fill up really fast. I don't know. He's going to tell them, be fruitful and multiply and go fill the earth. There's going to be more pain involved. I don't have all the answers for what that means, but it is interesting. How about for Adam? What is his punishment? Peter.
Work harder to get
okay.
Fruit from the earth.
Yep. So he was already laboring, right? He's already tilling the ground. He's already doing some stuff in the garden. Now it's going to be hard for him. I don't know that. Because I think creation had already happened in the first 6 days, but I don't think the thorns and the thistles had done their thing yet. So I think God's going to allow that to happen now and make it much tougher for them. And he says, and you're going to return to the dust from where you came. And then what is the punishment for both of them? We talked about it earlier. You got to get out of the garden. And there's going to be a separation here. We're running out of time, so I'll just ask. He makes them some clothing out of what? Animal skins. I don't know if that's the first time animals die. It doesn't say anything about, I want you to start sacrificing, but we're going to see that when we get into the next chapter, that that's going on. So there's some both care that God is giving of here I'm going to clothe you and take care of you. But there's probably also an education there that because of your sin, something else is now having to die because of what you've done. So I'll open it up. Does anybody have anything else that they would like to ask or talk about in the next minute or two that we've got class, because we're going to run out of time?
Bible story. Yes, in the will of God, it sets up a scenario where there's paradise lost and then a paradise returned.
Okay. Good. And if you've not done so, yes, Sam, go ahead.
It's just interesting that the first thing that we know that they gain knowledge about with good and evil from this is they realize they were naked. So there's suddenly this understanding of modesty and nakedness.
Yeah.
That's the very first moral bit of knowledge that's gained from that.
Correct. Yep. They are now going to recognize that there are some things that are not okay, some things that are okay. They try and hide from God. Is that not really the first thing that we do when we do wrong against God? Is, oh, I don't want God to know. I don't want God to see. I'm ashamed. Same thing with them. They try and hide themselves from God. And the question is asked, how does God go about this? He asks them some questions. Where are you? Why are you hiding? What have you done? Did God know the answers to these things already? Yep. He's wanting them to fess up and say, this is what I've done. God already knows the answers to these things. God already knows the punishments that are going to be given. God already has a plan for how he's going to fix it. So I don't know what Andy's plans are, if he's going to be back next week, but I think if he wants to continue on from this, about this part, we'll probably stop here. So thank you guys for the class, and appreciate it.